your door. The others joined her in a cluster and waited, panting for breath.
On my command!
A Sticky reached into the bus and paused, expecting to be attacked. When nothing happened, it dared to dart inside and paused, staring at the motionless humans. Then, hooting loudly, it began to climb over the stacks of crates as more Stickies swarmed into the vehicle. As the creatures got past the boxes, they charged up the aisle for the motionless people.
Eight!
The muties rushed closer, arms extended.
Nine, ten of them inside!
That's the lot! Chill the fuckers!
JB cut loose with the Uzi on full auto, the compact machine pistol chattering on and on as he emptied a full clip into the mass targets. Doc and Jack threw thunder from their big bore hand cannons, misshapen heads exploding from every hit. Christy and Dean maintained a steady discharge into the crowd with air blasters as JB reloaded and rode the Uzi into a tight grouping. Holstering her .38, Mildred stood and used the shotgun, the flechette rounds tearing the muties into screaming hamburger, intestines slithering out of broken bodies, blood washing over the rubber mats in a tide of death. Pausing to reload, the companions stared into the swirling mists of acrid gun smoke, waiting for the next wave of muties. But as the smoke cleared from the winds pouring in through the smashed windows, they saw only twitching bodies piled on the floor and seats. A motion under the seats caught Dean's attention, and walking over, he knelt in the blood and fired a round into the head of the Sticky trying to crawl away. It jerked once, then went still.
Two more on the roof!
Ryan tried to switch on the defroster and drain some heat from the boiling engine. Jack scowled at the ceiling angrily.
Man!
Then the bus violently shook as it hit something under the bog and started bumping along as if rolling over railroad tracks. Their speed increasing, the front end lifted clear, and the vehicle drove out of the quicksand and onto solid ground.
We're out!
Ryan slightly eased his hunched position behind the wheel. Mildred slumped into a chair.
Thank God.
Dodging saplings and rocks, Ryan headed for the path, the off-balance tires shuddering from every irregularity in the ground.
There's a road! Jog left!
Downshifting, Ryan twisted the steering wheel, and the rough vibrations moved. Pre-dark pavement? Ryan hit the gas, and the bus rapidly built speed as it raced along the cracked strip of old asphalt. Far behind, a couple of Stickies ran out of the quicksand, but were quickly left behind in the dust. Muffled footsteps could be heard on the roof, and Jack tracked their progress with his weapon.
Still got him.
JB held onto the luggage rack to stay erect.
We're far enough away. Might as well slow down and rule.
After we get rid of our uninvited guests.
Doc shifted the fire selector pin of the hand cannon to the shotgun round.
Especially this bastard.
Ryan bobbed his head to try to see around the bedraggled corpse on the windshield. Blood was still trickling from the multiple knife blade wounds, and it was becoming impossible to see clearly. The wiper blades were long gone, casualties of the Sticky attack.
I'll get him.
Christy went to stand by the access door, a slim hand holding on to the chrome-plated pole as she waited for the wag to stop. Just as Ryan started to downshift, he saw the fallen tree lying across the road ahead of them, a massive decaying log that a walking man could easily step over. But for the wag, it was an impassable palisade. Chunks of rubble lined the pre-dark road on both sides, giving him nowhere to turn. And with the tree trunk only yards away, there was virtually no time to slow. Only one choice, then. He stood on the brakes and threw the gears into reverse.
Roadblock! Brace yourselves!
Instantly, the wag bucked as if hitting an invisible wall. Every loose item in the vehicle was thrown to the front, a deluge of bodies and boxes burying the companions. A pair of hooting muties flew off the roof and smashed into a tree, the bodies wrapping bonelessly around stout branches. Brakes squealing, engine roaring, the wag decelerated from 50 to 30 miles per hour in only seconds. Then the screeching transmission exploded from the strain of the reversal, the spinning gears tearing themselves apart and shotgunning out of the floor. Ryan fought the wheel as the speed dropped further, but it wasn't enough, and the wag slammed into the old tree, plowing through in an explosion of rotten wood. The collision sent the vehicle airborne for a few yards, then dropped to slam onto the asphalt in a resounding crash of crumpling metal and smashing glass. The radiator erupted into a geyser of steam, the axles broke apart, and the spinning tires shot away. Still in motion from sheer inertia, the wreck threw off a spray of sparks from the chassis scraping along the rough surface of the roadway. Shuddering, jerking, clanging, The destroyed wag noisily ground to a halt a good 50 paces farther down the road. Only the steady ticking of hot metal slowly cooling broke the profound silence of the roadway. Crouching Sekhmen, armed with knives and flintlocks, struans of the school bus. A trapped bubble of air rose from the quicksand lake to burst on the surface, sounding very much like a human cough. Condors flew high in the stormy sky above, and tropical birds twittered in the oak and birch trees of the nearby forest, waiting for the night when they could hunt. Darting from stone to weed, a rat scurried along the ground with an ear held triumphantly in its jaw. The tattered bodies of the fallen stickies were strewed along 2 miles of mud and quicksand, ending in the crumpled remains of the wrecked school bus. A column of smoke rose from the quietly burning engine, and the rear door was gone, showing piles of crates and more corpses inside. A short distance away, a dozen more soldiers sat on their horses with long blasters pressed to their shoulders, shiny new flint in every weapon, and tense fingers on the triggers.
If there's a God still in heaven, hear my plea. Let the Outlander still live, so I may avenge my brother.
Mitchum leaned over in his saddle and pressed the point of his knife to the Sekhmen's throat. A drop of blood rose from the skin and flowed easily along the razor-sharp blade.
Don't speak again without my permission, or I will wear you as boots. I learned many things as a prisoner of the Cannies. Skinning a fool was only the beginning.
The Sekhmen inhaled sharply, craning back his head to keep from being cut. He could feel the warm blood flow down his throat.
They killed my brother. Shot him in the head in cold blood. Want him bad.
Mitchum studied the rage in the man's eyes and returned the blade to its sheath.
A man who died in the mountains with us, trying to outdraw the white-skinned man.
That was Cobb, my older brother. I'm white.
Fair fight. I was there.
Mitchum watched the troopers creep inside the bus. The men with long blasters got tense, leaning forward in anticipation to the brutal recoil of their black powder weapons. White looked up at the mounted officer, reaching for his own knife.
Don't care. I want him.
Smoothly, Mitchum drew his blaster and slapped the sergeant on the back of the neck, just below the swell of the skull. White didn't even gasp as he limply dropped to the ground. His hands dug at the pavement for a moment, then stopped, but his back rose and fell in the rhythm of life. Mitchum looked at the man, cocking back the hammer of his piece.
Anybody else speaks out of turn and he dies on the spot. Now drag this feeb away and remove the sergeant's stripes from his shirt. He's a corporal now.
A private saluted Mitchum and hauled the unconscious trooper away, just as a Sekhmen appeared at the rear of the bus. He splayed an empty hand, closed it, then cut the air with a flat palm.
Shit!
Mitchum spat angrily and thumped his heels on the horse's rump to get it moving. Reaching the wreck, he slid off the animal and tethered the reins to a broken sapling. There were lots of them about, forming an orderly path that zigzagged to the vehicle. The driver had to have been dying or blind to hit so many.
Any sign they had been inside?
Mitchum motioned to the waiting Sekhmen. The leader of the wreck saluted.
Yes, sir. Lots of blood and spent brasses everywhere. Must have been a hell of a fight. There's bullet holes in the windows and roof.
A gangbang.
The swamp stickies had been doing a lot of that lately, attacking in larger and larger groups to ace passing norms. Blasters weren't stopping them anymore.
Maybe they were aced, sir, and something dragged the bodies away. Lots of things will eat norm flesh that's black with rot, but never touch a fresh muti corpse.
Mitchum nodded his head, kicking at some debris on the cracked pavement.
That's true.
Yes, it was possible, even likely. But for some reason, Mitchum didn't trust such an easy answer. He wouldn't believe Rhyme was dead until he saw the body and cut out its heart. He walked around the twisted shell of the broken wag.
What about their position? Are their backpacks or the rapid fire still inside?
No, sir. We looked, but those are gone.
They're alive!
Mitchum slammed a fist into the side of the bus, denting the weakened metal. Ryan and his people were alive and had escaped again. Animals might have dragged away the bodies, but not the blasters. Some of the other Sekhmen observed the wreckage. A sergeant snorted in disgust.
Yeah, what a heap of dreck. Must have hit that log and gone flying. Shit fire, both axles are busted to pieces and the engine block is cracked. Look at that oil spill. There's no way I could fix this wag. It was in better shape when we dug it out of those ruins.
A private lifted a wheel-bearing assembly from one of the axles. It was slightly bent, but still should work. He tucked it into a pocket.
Might be able to find a few parts at work.
Stop that! We'll scab for anything usable on the...